Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
While you're taking a break from sports, KSON is putting you on the road to Stagecoach 8 times every weekday, thanks to your San Diego County Toyota dealers and Cox Communications. Ready for 3 days of live country music in the desert? Sign up now at KSON.com.
We had a Radio Hall of Famer join the show yesterday. We have a National Baseball Hall of Famer going to be with us later this hour when Trevor Hoffman stops by Fantasy Camp with Woods and Paul there in Peoria at 6:35. You're not going to want to miss that. It is a Hall of Fame kind of week here on Ben and Woods. By the way, wasn't it a thrill? We were just talking about how fun it was to talk to Jim Rome yesterday. Since you guys were out at Fantasy Camp, I'm sure you didn't catch it, but I was driving away from the station yesterday, and not only did we have that great conversation with Romy on the air during our show, he continued to name drop us during his national program right after us. So Brian has pulled the clip because I heard it yesterday as I was driving home, and my jaw just hit the floor that we get a shout out from Romy on air. Here's what it sounded like.
The legend, right smack dab in the middle of hour number one. He is a force of nature. He's a wild man. He is Pat Perez. Pat Perez is so great. I was telling my guys this morning, Ben and Woods in San Diego, that Pat Perez hit me up midweek and said, "Rome, it is so good to be back in the jungle. Can I have two segments?"
There he was. Ben and Woods. We just got a name drop on the Jim Rome show.
Incredible.
That was pretty cool to hear yesterday.
Very surreal. Ben.
Because I always listen to Rome on my way home, and they're not usually talking about us. So that was a lot of fun.
That's interesting. Very, very interesting. I want to send that clip to all my friends.
In addition to Trevor Hoffman, coming up in our 7 o'clock hour, Matt Strom, Padres reliever, who's already out early to Peoria, is going to stop by. We'll talk some football as well. We're just over a week away from Super Bowl 54, 49ers and the Chiefs. Chris Mortensen, our Mort Report, on a Thursday coming up at 7:35. So busy show. Lots to get to. The way we kick it off in our 6 o'clock hour now, though, is three stories from our executive producer, Paul Reindl. Let's get to it. It's time for today's Reindl Report.
You're listening to the Reindl Report on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right. Guys, I hate to even go here, but the Antonio Brown saga continues. We mentioned yesterday that AB's trainer was arrested on Tuesday on a felony burglary with battery charge. Well, now the police department in Hollywood, Florida, has issued an arrest warrant for AB on allegations that he and his trainer attacked a moving company's truck driver.
Perfect.
Police tried to contact AB several times, but he kept retreating back into his house. He ignored their request to speak with him. Reports are that police will arrest him sometime today if he does not turn himself in. Is this story finally coming to an end? I mean, the guy clearly needs help. Do we think he's going to be able to get that help now?
No, I don't. I don't know. I don't know if it's CTE. I don't know if it's just mental illness. But it's clear that it's not just shtick anymore. It's clear that it's not just an embittered ex-employee that wants a job back in the NFL. He's had so many chances, and it leads you to believe that, yeah, there's just something. There's something wrong upstairs, and you know it's sad. It's gotten to the point now where it's just a sad state of affairs for AB, who was really a really talented football player. And the weirdest thing for me, guys, is that we just never heard his name for a decade. You never heard it. Just all you saw was highlight catch after highlight catch,
and then something quiet.
Yeah, fairly quiet. I mean, we talk on the field and stuff, but you just never really heard about him until the Steelers let him go, and ever since then, it's just been a train wreck, man.
According to court documents obtained by TMZ, as the story goes, a moving company was hired by Brown to deliver some of his belongings that he had stored in California to his home in Hollywood, Florida. A driver drove across the country. Brown then refused to pay the $4,000 moving fee.
That's his bit.
So the driver said, okay, then I'm leaving with your stuff. I'm not taking it out of the truck. And that's when Antonio Brown is accused of throwing a rock at the truck, damaged the truck on the driver's side. So then later, Brown says, okay, I'll pay the $4,000 plus the damages to the truck to get my stuff back. The driver came back. Brown did pay the $4,000 but refused to pay more for the damages, so they got into an argument, and that's when Brown is alleged to have assaulted the driver as well, and has led to his arrest now in Florida, or an arrest warrant being issued in Florida.
Yeah, and from all accounts, I guess he kind of barricaded himself in his home, and it just, it's bad. It's just all bad with him, and you hope that, A, you hope he makes it out alive, and you hope that that he does end up getting some help, because it's just, it's spiraling, clearly.
By now, you've probably seen the massive brawl at the end of the Kansas State basketball game on Tuesday night. We talked about it yesterday for a little bit. We were wondering what the repercussions are going to be, and now we know. The Big 12 announced that they were going to be suspending Kansas forward Silvio D'Souza for 12 games. D'Souza was the player who blocked the shot and then stood over Dewan Gordon. He was throwing punches. He's the guy that held the stool over his head. So he's out for 12. Also from Kansas, David McCormick received a 2-game ban. And from Kansas State, James Love was suspended 8 games, and Antonio Gordon will miss 3 games for their roles in the brawl.
I saw some people thought it was an outrage that D'Souza was going to get to play college basketball again. I mean, when the games matter, NCAA tournament, Big 12 tournament, he's going to be back. I think Scott Van Pelt had a good take on it last night, though. He said, these are college kids. Yes, he deserves to be punished. Yes, it can't be nothing. But it also can't just be taken. You can't take everything away from him as well. He made a mistake. And one thing that D'Souza did, I don't know if you guys saw yesterday, in this age of really bad apologies.
Yeah, his was brilliant.
He really wrote a good one. You know, he issued a letter, and whether he wrote it himself or whether he had some help, it was... It
Alex
was one
Bregman
of the full.
Did not write this one for him.
It was one of those full, like, I take full responsibility. I made a horrible mistake. I used bad judgment. I don't have anyone to blame but myself. He really touched on all the notes you want to hear in a very good apology. He was embarrassed for, you know, the reputations that he damaged with his school and his teammates. Seemed like it was genuinely sorry and apologetic. Something we haven't seen from, you know, like, I don't know, the Houston Astros so far from their baseball cheating scandal.
Yeah, and everyone making a big deal out of the stool, you know, picking up the stool, holding it over his head. That whole incident lasted all of about a second and a half as he picks it up, holds it over his head, and then you can see him think twice and put it down.
Ben, it's when you see the still shot that goes around viral.
Exactly. That's the one where you're
like, this guy's a madman.
This guy's lost his mind. It's like if somebody, if I pick up a bat to crown somebody with it, and then I go, I can't hit this guy with a baseball bat, and I drop it. Yeah, I shouldn't have picked the bat up, but at least I was smart enough to realize it and not use the bat.
Right. If he had swung the chair at someone,
then you're
toast. you don't get to play again, obviously.
Yeah, 100%.
But at least that it didn't happen, and you can't infer anything else. It didn't happen. He's getting punished 12 games. It sounds about right to me, actually.
Me too. I had no problem with any of those suspensions.
Well, I was going to touch on Zion Williamson here, but I know we're going to get to that a little bit later. So instead, I've got some very, very sad news. A video was posted yesterday that shows Mr. Peanut driving his Nutmobile with Wesley Snipes and comedian Matt Walsh. But when Mr. Peanut swerves to avoid an armadillo, the vehicle went off a cliff, and all three guys spill out and end up hanging to a branch. Since it's too heavy for all three of them, Mr. Peanut sacrifices himself. Mr. Peanut's dead at 104 years old. In a tweet, Mr. Peanut's estate said, quote, "It's with heavy hearts that we confirm Mr. Peanut has passed away at 104 years old. He will be remembered as the legume who always brought people together for nutty adventures and a good time. But Mr. Peanut might not be gone for good. His funeral, quote-unquote, will be part of a Planters Super Bowl ad that'll run during the third quarter next Sunday." So they're doing the whole week and a half long, stretching it out, pre-Super Bowl ads already.
I hate to make light of a tragic situation, but I'm sensing there might be some sort of promotional inspiration behind the death of Mr. Peanut.
It's exhausting.
You know what? The only thing that I liked about that whole story yesterday with Mr. Peanut was the hashtag they created, which was hashtag R.I. Peanut.
That's the Randall Report on a Thursday.
You're listening to the Randall Report on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right.
Rest in Peanut. Get it? R.I. Peanut.
Yeah, no, we get it.
Okay. I got it.
Did you come up with that, Ben? Did you text that?
I didn't know. It was like probably a team of people who sat around a room and said,
and did this bit.
How are we going to cut through the noise in the year 2020 and make our brand viral and relevant during Super Bowl season? And someone at the table said, let's kill off Mr. Peanut.
Well, it's probably the same crew that decided to sell Pepto-Bismol by singing diarrhea.
It does have their fingerprints all over it, doesn't it?
It kind of does. How do we get people to talk about Pepto-Bismol? I know. Diarrhea is a weird and gross word, but if we sing it, it's not so gross anymore.
Diarrhea.
Mm. So who knows what they have in store for Mr. Peanut during the Super Bowl ad.
I don't care. I don't care.
You going to now skip the game just so you don't have to find
no,
out?
No, I'll watch the game, but I don't ever really watch the – I watch a couple of commercials. They always disappoint, though.
Speaking of the Super Bowl, two-time Super Bowl MVP Eli Manning called it a career yesterday. Actually, the official announcement's coming tomorrow, but the news got out a little bit early. 16 seasons with the New York Giants. He becomes the first of the three quarterbacks who were all drafted there at the top of the 2004 draft with Phillip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger to call it a career.
Yeah.
And it always, you know, sparks those discussions and debates. Who was the best of the three? What if they had all gone to different teams? Would they have had the same careers? You can't answer it, but it is an endless source of discussion. Kimberly Hunt and I were talking last night. What if Eli had stayed with the Chargers and Phillip had gone to the New York Giants? Would Phillip Rivers have two Super Bowl MVPs? I will still argue. I think Phillip Rivers was overall a better quarterback than Eli Manning, but Eli Manning was in the right spot at the right time and had a couple of great games. And in fact, you heard it a lot yesterday, Woods. You know, people in the NFL saying, "Oh, he was such a great big game quarterback, Eli Manning."
Yeah,
that's a shot though. That's a shot at Eli. They're not saying they didn't say he's a great quarterback. They say he was a great big game quarterback, which implies to me that the rest of the time he was just okay. And he was good, but he wasn't spectacular for most of his career. He just happened to have a couple of great games and great playoff runs at really opportune times. Now, if Phillip Rivers had been on that Giants team, he might have more wins, more yards than Eli, but I don't know that he would have won those Super Bowls because Phillip Rivers, you know, at least when he's gotten the opportunity, has not played his best
in
those biggest games against the toughest opponents in January. So, you know, I don't know how that would have gone had their roles been reversed, had their places been traded early in their career.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you and I had this debate a year or so ago about Eli Manning Hall of Famer, and I think I want to say that I was on the side of, yeah, they probably will put him in with the two big Super Bowl wins. The last name certainly doesn't hurt. The fact that he played in New York, I'm pretty sure he's going to go into the Hall of Fame without a doubt, in my opinion. But I thought, if I remember correctly,
I have some doubts.
Yeah, you have some doubts. I think, like, I also have doubts whether he's worthy. But the question of will he get in? Yes, I think 100%.
Without those two Super Bowl MVP awards, there's no chance he gets in. So that makes me say, okay, if there's two games, is that really enough to put a guy into a Hall of Fame?
And, well, I mean, you got to win the games to get there too. Obviously, you can't just
sure.
It's not you got to get to the Super Bowl as well. And given those opportunities in those big games, I mean, hey, and it's not like he beat scrubs. You don't ever really play a scrub in the Super Bowl, but you know, knocking off Tom Brady and the Patriots twice is. That looks pretty good on the old res, you know what I mean?
The stat that blew my mind, though, yesterday about Eli Manning, I'll wrap it up with this. No one in the history of the NFL has made more money in salary than Eli Manning. $252 million, just over a quarter of $1 billion as he retires as the all-time most highly paid athlete in NFL history. $3 million ahead of his brother, who made $249 million. They're 1 and 2 in all-time earnings in the same family, half a bill between the Manning brothers.
That is, it's bananas. And thinking about what baseball players make in comparison to what football players make is shocking. It's shocking.
Yeah, Manny Machado's in one contract is going to make more than that. Either
crazy.
Of those guys who are most
crazy.
In NFL history. It is pretty crazy. So
Mike Trout's almost going to double that.
Yeah, Mike Trout will double that. It's bananas. He'll make a $500 million. Yeah, okay. Easy.
Want to remind everyone, if you haven't done so yet, make sure you sign up to be the biggest fan by going to 973thefansd.com. If we call your name at around 7:45, 1:45, or 4:30, you'll have a chance to win a road trip to see Aerosmith. At the Park MGM, your prize will include tickets to the Aerosmith show, 2 nights stay, and a $100 gas card. And as a special bonus here in 2020, we're giving away 2 grand prizes this month to kick off the year right, all from 97.3 The Fan. We're going to talk a little basketball, Woods, when we come back. Zion Williamson made a very much anticipated debut in the NBA last night. And for like 3-plus quarters, it couldn't have been more boring. And then all of a sudden, it became the most talked about thing on the internet in the span of about 5 minutes. We'll get to that, maybe some Aztecs hoops as well. That's coming up next with Ben and Woods right now. We are 10 minutes away from talking to the Hall of Famer, Trevor Hoffman. Going to be walking over to the holding cell at the Peoria Sports Complex where Stephen Woods and Paul Reindl are broadcasting live this morning. I'm Ben Higgins, back at our Entercom San Diego studios. I have been in that holding cell. That was where I did our half of the Manny Machado news conference show last year when he had his news conference in Peoria after signing. And you guys were back in San Diego when I was out there doing the show.
Right. Yeah, so it's
I know the room.
You know the room. It's like a storage room. There's a baby crib in here.
It doesn't seem worthy of a Hall of Famer. It's like you guys need to spruce things up before Trevor gets there.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. We just go where we're told.
Yeah, but you can put your own stamp on it, you know, decorate it a little bit.
I'm not decorating. I'm not
tidy up.
I kind of feel a little bit like an interloper anyway, just being here, Ben.
Take responsibility for your space, your work environment.
No, I'm not going to do that. All right, but I'm excited to talk to Trevor, man. When we saw him walk out yesterday, he had the brown on, you know?
God, he looks good.
And you're like, God, the dude doesn't age, by the way. I mean, he looks phenomenal. And just so easygoing and fun.
He looks
and
like
cool.
If Kirby Yates got hurt in May, they could have him back out there by June.
100%. He looks like in such good shape. It's almost annoying.
Like beast mode, kind of coming back out of retirement.
Just come back. I wonder what he could throw. They don't really like Andy Ashby's out here too. He just had surgery on his shoulder, so he can barely lift his arm, but. I wonder what Hoffy could – I bet he could still hit 85 with a fastball.
Which doesn't really matter. It's the differential with the changeup that was always what got guys out for him. So
I'm excited to talk
to him. Looking forward to that. People were very much last night looking forward to, and I'm sure ESPN exec salivating over the chance to broadcast the first ever game for Zion Williamson after he missed, the first 13 weeks of the season and his NBA career following surgery. Finally, they take it slow. The New Orleans Pelicans try not to rush him back. They finally put him on the court last night against the San Antonio Spurs. I saw people predicting, you know, like 30-plus points. This guy's going to dominate from the outset. And for three quarters, it was almost laughable how underwhelming it was. He looked tentative. He only played about 14 minutes. He scored 5 points. And you're just thinking, oh, man, they have egg on their face. They have hyped this moment and this kid up so much, probably unfairly so, given, hey, it's his first NBA game and he's been out with an injury for this long. What could you have possibly expected that would have been, like, even fair to have expectations for Zion Williamson?
Yeah, the funny thing is the whole highlight reel, Ben, lasts about 3.5 minutes.
Yeah. And then the fourth quarter comes along. Literally, in 3.5 minutes, he scores 17 straight points. He makes 4 of 4 from three-point range. I mean, this guy is, I think I saw yesterday, say he's the third heaviest guy in the NBA already, like 285 pounds, 6'6". So he's not even one of those tall trees, but he's all muscle. I mean, he's incredibly strong and powerful, even compared to NBA players. He got some insanely nutty rebounds where he went up against guys who were taller than him.
I gotta say,
and came away with a ball that was like, how did he do that?
That was the thing, you know. Like it's fun, and it's kind of cool to watch him step back and just drain a three with no effort. I mean, his feet barely left the ground. I think his heels came up. You know, that's it. He did. It's not like he was popping jumpers.
Like
he just
free throws.
Yeah, he was like shooting free throws from 3-point range, and he's draining them all net. And then, but there's that rebound where he goes up over three guys that are fighting for it, and just his massive hands, he just kind of tips it to himself, and you're like, oh, this is special. And you see, you know, I've never been the world's biggest ball fan at all. You know, I've never been a big Lonzo guy. But watching those two together, you're like, oh.
Lonzo looked good.
Lonzo looked pretty good, and having that guy to feed is not going to be the worst thing that ever happened to him ever. And especially, you know, if he's out there making three-pointers, it's they could be a really fun team to watch, you know, in the next few years.
You know, I can't argue with the strategy of the Spurs kind of in the fourth quarter. Said, we're not really going to go guard him at the three-point line. We want him.
Yeah, you want him
to shoot those three-pointers. And so they let him kind of have a couple, and he just kept making them. And if he does that consistently, I mean, he's not going to go 4-for-4 every game. I assume he's going to miss a three-pointer sometime in his career. But if he can even make, you know, in the high 30, 35, anywhere 37% of his three-pointers and force guys to come out to him, that is going to make him even more dangerous, because then he's got the lane open to him. He's a good passer. We saw him kick out some great passes when he drew a double team to the three-point line. The Pelicans weren't making their shots, which is why they lost the game. But that wasn't Zion's fault. He's a good passer. They're going to have to guard him at the 3-point line. I now see why everyone projected him so highly in the NBA. It wasn't just a college phenom. That game does translate to the top level.
He looked good. He does look. You know, he does look big. He does look big, and I'm sure they do want him to maybe pull a little bit of weight off. But that's kind of to be expected. You know, when you're rehabbing and I felt like he wasn't moving as well as he did in college, obviously coming off a pretty devastating injury, but it was pretty cool to see, man. And Paul was kind of showing me the clips this morning of that fourth quarter, and you're like, oh, that's...
I mean, the place was rocking.
Place went nuts. I mean, they win that game if they leave him in. They pulled him with four
minutes
left or whatever.
He only had 18 minutes on the floor, ended up with 22 points.
Or 22 points, yeah. 22,
yeah, 17 in a row, 22 total.
Just incredible.
They're pretty actually a spectacular debut,
Benny,
thanks to that run.
What's the plan for him moving forward? Same kind of deal, just kind of manage it?
I think they'll slowly add minutes. He says, I don't want to be limited at all. I just want to go. But the Pelicans, they're not going anywhere this year. They have no reason to risk anything. So, yeah, they'll take it slow. I mean, he'll probably pay 22, 25. I doubt he'll be a 45-minute guy this season.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be careful with him his entire rookie year at this point. But all of a sudden, the New Orleans Pelicans games are becoming, if not must-see television, at least worthy of flipping on. When they happen to pop on TNT or ESPN or NBA TV, see what that guy's going to be able to do here in his rookie season.
Yeah, but you know that panic 100% set in the first three quarters. You
oh,
know,
totally.
You're like, oh, God.
People
oh,
were tweeting,
no.
I
oh,
mean,
no.
just tweets that they're probably deleting right now going, this is what we waited for. This guy, he doesn't even look like he's, I mean, he can't even walk straight. What's going on out there? And then you see, oh, okay, yeah, this is pretty awesome.
It's wild. It's wild. That hype machine, you know, and it's almost like if the guy didn't come out in the very first play into a 360 windmill dunk, it was going to be a crappy debut for him. But he looked really. That fourth quarter was really, really fun.
All right, we got number 51 coming up next. Go track him down. Make sure you find Trevor Hoffman. He is scheduled to join Ben and Woods, Padres statue legend, baseball Hall of Famer. Coming up next from the Peoria Sports Complex. Don't miss it. Don't go away. It's Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Peoria is fun. And, you know, it's not just Paul and Woodsy out there having fun at fantasy camp. It is a great time when you head out to spring training. And 97.3 The Fan wants to send you out to Peoria for Padres spring training 2020. Just go to 973thefansd.com/Peoria to sign up to win a trip for four to see a Padres spring training game at the Peoria Sports Complex against the Rockies on Saturday, March 21st. Your prize includes a $500 Southwest Airlines gift card for travel accommodations. Good luck from San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. We got Trevor Hoffman set to go. We'll get to that Hall of Fame interview right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan with Kelly Danning.
Hey, guys, they've issued a traffic alert for this crash on the southbound 15 right after Auto Parkway. Motorcycle involved. You've got the carpool lanes completely blocked, so expect lots of delays there on that southbound side of the 15. Again, that is right after Auto Parkway. Also going to find in Balboa Park some slowing south 163 toward this accident right before the 5. Not blocking any lanes. Several vehicles, they are all over to the right shoulder. And if you're traveling on the northbound side of the 5, right around Carmel Valley Road, we have reports of a stalled vehicle that is in the center divide. I'm Kelly Danick with Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan.
It's kind of nice when you don't have to pick intro music for someone. People come with their own. Let's go out to the SDCCU fan hotline, and let's go back out to the Peoria Sports Complex. We're joining Woodsy and Paul out there is Baseball Hall of Famer and Padres legend Trevor Hoffman. Trevor, good morning to you, and welcome back to Ben and Woods.
Good morning to you too, Benny. That gives me chills every time I hear it.
Every time.
You know, I know a lot of people out there outside of San Diego think it's 3rd and 8 with their NFL football team, but yeah, for us, it's still pretty cool.
Man, so how have things been going with you? It's second year of fantasy camp. What's it looking like out there? I don't know how long you've been out there and what you've been able to see so far, but your impressions of year two of Padres fantasy camp.
Well, Woodsy's dominating. That's the beautiful thing. But the numbers have doubled. I think the whole idea of fantasy camp has gotten out. We've got great participation. They're taking it very serious. We're trying to save some arms. But, you know, at the end of the day, everyone, I think, is having a really good time. The brown uniforms look great on everybody. And so, yeah, I think everybody's having a great time.
Benny, I walked in this morning. I mean, the clubhouse opens at about 6, and it's damn near full. I mean, guys are like...
And not just in the training room.
And not just in the training room. They're in there. They're sitting there, and they're looking at their locker, and they're getting their stuff ready. And you're like, dude, you don't have to be here like 7:30. But everyone, they want to be here. Being at the locker, we all walked in this morning. There's a signed batting helmet from all, you know, Hoffy and everybody else. And it's just the stuff that you get, the daily surprises. You never know who's going to show up. And like I said yesterday, we're in the middle of our game. We knew Hoffy was coming. We didn't know when. He walks out into the field, and everyone stops, and you're like, oh, wow, that's Hoffy. And I told you, hit a ball at me, and I'm like, don't boot it, don't boot it, don't boot it, don't boot it. Because Hoffy's there, you know, and it's wild. But thanks for joining us this morning. I know you, you know, all of us, we got a real busy day here at Fantasy Camp. But I wanted to ask you, Trevor, it's been a weird offseason for the game that we all love so much. I feel like baseball's that sport where, you know, they'll say, hey, you know, all news is good news. All publicity is good pub. I don't feel that way about baseball. I feel like baseball has a little bit of a higher standard. And this offseason's been pretty nuts with the Astro stuff. I just wanted to get kind of your overall, when you heard about it, what did you think? When you saw the videos, what were you, were you blown away like the rest of, were you like, oh my God, it was right there in front of us?
I don't know if it was like right there in front of us to an extent, but I was definitely blown away that the use of technology in that regard went so far.
Yeah.
You know, I think the things that we've learned on how to decode someone's, you know, signs as a catcher, and if you're at second base, you kind of pick up on that and you can utilize it. That's within the realm of the game.
Sure.
You know, if you're not smart enough to have a different set of signs and a team picks it up, then great. But
since you were in Little League,
since you're in Little League, that's okay.
Yeah.
But to use technology and use it in real time and to give a guy a complete advantage to know what's coming is egregious.
You know, it's funny, Trevor, when this came out, I thought of you because, I mean, it affects any pitcher if the batter knows what's coming. But I specifically thought about you and how important deception was and that uncertainty that the batter had in his head, whether it's fastball or changeup, and how that would have been just almost devastating for you to face a team that, oh, I know the changeup's coming. I'm not swinging at this one.
How mad would you have been?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I went through a bit of a phase mid-career where I got a little bit weird with the way I went in and grabbed my changeup, and it would wiggle a string on my glove a little bit funny, and I was tipping my pitches for about a month, and I was racking my brain. I'm going, what in the heck is going on? How do they know what's coming? And it, you know, through video, I was able to find out that I was tipping pitches, and we took care of it, turned the glove a little bit, did a little bit of like the Ryan Dempster shake, and boom, it was done, and they don't know what's coming.
From a friggin' string wiggling on his glove, Ben, the other team. And that's the thing is like, that you tip your hat to.
No doubt.
You tip, and you're like, I'm getting rocked, and my arm feels good, yeah. I feel good, my pitches are moving, what is happening? And that's perfectly okay. If they find that out, that's on me.
Yep.
But if they got a camera over my shoulder and they're having algorithms to tell people what's coming and they're banging on trash cans, that had to be a tough pill for a lot of these kids to swallow. And you talk about the kids that got sent down after getting roughed up by the Astros. They may never recover. They may never come back up, and they miss their shot. And that to me is the travesty.
You might not be a Dodger fan, but they had a shot at possibly two world championships.
Sure.
And you know, I'm great friends with Doc Roberts, and you know that's going to hurt for a long
time.
That's
going to hurt,
and,
yeah.
You know, it's not to say that's part of the game, but we went through the PEDs,
yep.
And you know that whole shadow over the game for that. Now it's the technology that needs to be, you know, taken care of. You know, we have the ability to probably put earpieces in the catcher and the pitcher's ear so that there's no signs being given, and you know it's going to make it harder for, you know, we see it with the catcher and the offensive coordinator in football games. So it's things can be done.
Talking to Padres Hall of Famer and Baseball Hall of Famer Trevor Hoffman live at the Peoria Sports Complex. And, Trevor, I know you've worked with many of these young Padres over the years, spring training. You made trips out to the minor league ballparks. A new baseball top 100, Baseball America top 100, came out yesterday. Mackenzie Gore, number 6, Luis Patino, number 18. We're going to see them in the big league camp for the first time this spring. How excited are you for these guys, and what's your kind of latest scouting report based on where they ended last season?
That's funny. We had dinner at a pizza place across the street, and that's the same place I had dinner when Mackenzie just signed. So it brought back a lot of great memories about a young man that really carries himself really well, is passionate about getting better and pushing himself to the limits, and certainly looking forward to a guy like that coming up and having an impact. And Patino right on his heels. I love the 1-2 combination. They can really kind of push each other and compete with one another and within a season and a game, and they're going to have an impact. It might not be out of spring training, but they're going to certainly have an impact with this team. And I'm looking forward to the strides that the guys from last year, the Richards, the Lametz, the Paddocks, those guys taking another step forward out away from surgery, another step forward and learning the game in the big leagues, and they're only going to get better.
How much time did you spend with Chris Paddock last year? He was a guy that we were all looking forward to, and he delivered. You know, he really did. When you look at the sum of the parts at the end of the year, you look at that and you're like, he could be an ace. He could be an ace on this team. He could be an ace on a lot of teams. Did you get to spend a lot of time? Did he bend your ear much last year?
A good amount of time. Yeah. And, you know, it was bend the ear in a good way. You know,
yeah.
Want to ask the right questions at the right time. We sat down quite a bit in spring training and, you know, talked to him about what to expect. Hey, you're going to run into a wall and you're going to have to make adjustments on the fly. And you're going to have to change a little bit of your repertoire, but don't go away from trusting your stuff. And, you know, he had just great questions about what to expect in the big leagues. And he didn't know if he was breaking camp or not, but he wanted to, you know, figure some things out before he got there. And, you know, he took the city by storm. He's got a little bit of pizzazz about him, and he's not going to back down from anybody. You know, he gets in trouble. I love go sit in the truck when he was a kid.
Yeah.
So that sort of thing is what he's about, the cowboy hat, the persona. You know, I hope he has just another amazing year.
Whose hair is longer, yours or Paddock's?
Paddock's got him, I think.
Yeah, Paddock's is a little bit longer than mine. I had to cut mine back a click.
That's got a directive from Mrs. Hoffman, I would imagine.
Said, hey, trim that thing up a little bit.
Oh, man. Well, Trevor, we're obviously joined by Trevor Hoffman, Hall of Famer here on Bed of Woods this morning. And, Hoffy, when you look at the offseason, it started kind of with a bang and a lot of moves, a kind of a flurry of moves. It's quieted down. It's quieted down, I think, for a lot of teams right now. But when you look at some of the additions, guys are going to be coming to camp, the Tommy Pham's, that's the one for me. I'm elated. I can't wait to see this guy. He brings an attitude. Jace Tingler is another guy. And I know you've had a chance to spend some time with him. We have as well. He brings an attitude. And I feel just personally, and I don't spend a ton of time around the team, but just watching the team 162 games, there was a little bit of attitude missing, I think. And so after you sat down with Jace, what are you expecting out of him leading this team?
And not to bring up the topic, but could you imagine being the Astros and Red Sox without a manager right now?
Right. So, it's a nightmare.
Because I remember sitting down with Jace when the uniform was unveiled and was through the interview process, one of the sessions. He's had a lot of time to get his feet wet, to get to go out and meet the guys, get a feel about the organization, the city. And so he is super. He was here yesterday.
Yeah,
in camp.
We saw him.
So it's, it's a super exciting time for him to know that he's on the cusp of his dream job. And so that was probably the biggest addition we had to make, is solidify who we were going to move forward with. And AJ's super comfortable with him. I think that was important. But, yeah, Tommy, I've heard a lot of the same things about the guy. And, you know, we had guys that had edges, too. You don't think Ken Caminiti had an edge, or Greg Vaughn during the season, and Finley in his own way. So, you know, when you have that in the clubhouse, it's not trying to be a jerk. It's just, hey, there's a certain way that they want to go and compete.
Well, that and the fact that, you know, teams aren't going to come in here or here in San Diego, right, and say, ah, it's just the lowly Padres. You know, you look at them and you're like, ooh, yeah, we better not, you know, you better not fall out of line. They're going to get in our grill, and Jace Tingler's going to get in people's grills, and he's got the red ass in him, and we needed that, I think. I think and I'm hoping that it all kind of comes together into one big, just kind of badass unit that aren't going to be pushed around, you know?
I'll be honest with you, the way that Fernando Tatis Jr. played last year, that was an eye-opener, and hey, these guys are playing with a little bit of an edge.
Yep.
And they're taking pride in the way they're going about their inning. Chris, we talked about Paddock,
yeah,
having
big
that
time,
little attitude on the mound. And so, and that was Jake Peavy for a long time. But these guys will come together, and they'll be a lot of fun to watch.
Trevor, expectations are always a tough thing in baseball. I mean, we've talked to Ron Fowler before and you know, tried to figure out what his expectations are for the team. And you never really know until the guys get together. But fans are going to have expectations as well. Where do you kind of see this team heading into 2020? What's a fair amount of expectation to put on a squad that obviously has a lot of new pieces, but is supposed to be building and growing into something that's going to be a playoff and championship contender in San Diego?
Yeah, you know, it'd be easy to throw that number out there, you know, above 500 somewhere, and you never really know. And I'm not going to try and sit on the fence and avoid it, because I don't think that's right. But it's feasible to have a 15-20 game difference and turnaround, and that puts you in the conversation of a wild card, and who knows about the division. But you have to get out of May, and you have to get rolling through April and May kind of thing, so that, you know, you're not trying to climb uphill and gain 3 or 4 games a month. You want to be on the winning side early, and then you kind of, that confidence can lead a team in a different direction that ultimately it wasn't going to go that way. So you don't really know until you come out of spring training how you're feeling about one another. The pieces are there to play better than we did last year, and you know, the expectations are always to win a championship, and that's bottom line. And sometimes it's gotten away from us, but I think there's enough personnel each and every year that we can do some things.
Yeah, I mean, we're the expectation thing. I know people, we just want to run. You know, yeah, people just want to run meaningful in October, in August, September, October, make a move at the deadline and things like that. That will ignite San Diego's passion, already pretty hot passion for the Padres. But 2020, like, it's a big year. I feel like it's a really, really important year for the future of the team.
Extremely big year. And up to this point, I think you have to tip your cap. I mean, one of the biggest gripes about the situation was ownership not, you know, going out and getting us some personnel. And
yeah,
they've done everything to their extent to give us a roster and to give us players that you're in the prime of their career and having a shot to be, you know, the leaders in Major League Baseball. And so I tip my hat to what we've done over the last 5, 6, 7 years on a lot of different fronts. And, you know, I'm looking forward to some things coming together.
Trevor, the Baseball Hall of Fame election just announced. Derek Jeter obviously going into the Hall of Fame. But I wanted to ask you, you went in on your third ballot with 79.9% of the vote. I think we thought you would get there eventually. Larry Walker, a guy you faced many times in your career with the Rockies and the National League West, last time on the ballot, comes down to 6 votes. I mean, can you even imagine that kind of, like, that level of nerves and going in what he was facing this week?
Yeah, I couldn't. I can't even think about it. You know, 10 years of this, you know, that January disappointment and just, you know, it's not that you never come to terms with it, but, you know, 2 guys that were in my class, and Jack Morris and Alan Trammell, those guys went 15 years on the ballot and then had to wait for a veterans committee.
Ugh.
I mean, that's just, you know, agony going through that every January. And so, super happy that it's over for him. I think he's a Hall of Famer, hands down. He was a 5-tool guy that changed the game when he played it. Was great in the clubhouse, great teammate. You know, not that I was his teammate, but I knew guys that did. I just loved the way he played the game, and he's a great addition, and it's a neat class with Jeet and Simmons.
Trevor, always great talking to you. We really appreciate it, and, of course, we'll see you back out at spring training. We'll be back out in a month, and then out at Petco Park. We're not that far away from opening day. It's crazy how quickly it comes.
I love it. It's going to be early this year. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Take care, man. Trevor Hoffman on our SDCCU fan hotline from the Peoria Sports Complex. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU4U or visit SDCCU.com. We got a couple minutes before the top of the hour. It's time for our listeners to start dialing in to play some real or fake. You want to go head-to-head against Woods? Chance to win a prize here. 833-288-0973.
Hey, Ben, should they go against Hoffy and not me?
Does he want to play?
You want to play real or fake?
Sure, let's do it.
He'll
all
do
right,
it.
All right, you're going to go against Trevor Hoffman.
You're going
Hoffman
against Trevor
today.
Hoffman. No big deal.
833-288-0973. The lines are really going to start blinking now. By the way, we got Matt Strom supposed to be coming by in about
real.
10 minutes as well. So, Trevor, I think you're going to be able to do okay on this one. Let's get going. It is time for real or fake.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
You can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
I can't believe this. We've got Trevor Hoffman playing Real or Fake, going for a four-pack of tickets to the USS Midway Museum today. Live the adventure. Honor the legend. Go to midway.org for tickets. I know Trevor, big supporter of the troops and the Navy in town. You're going to be going up against Chris in Mission Valley. Chris, say hello to Trevor Hoffman.
All right.
How you doing, Chris? Good morning to you, man.
I'm doing good today. Doing good. Driving okay. On the way to work now.
All right, guys. Trevor, I know I've seen you out at Torrey before. Farmers Insurance Open begins this morning, continuing a San Diego tradition, first started in 1952. Of course, the tournament has had a number of different names over the years. Today on Real or Fake, I'll name a company. You have to tell me if they were ever a real title sponsor of the PGA Tour stop at Torrey Pines or a fake I've thrown in to fool you. So, Trevor, you understand how it works?
Yes, sir.
All right, real or fake? Here we go. Mercedes-Benz, Trevor, real or fake sponsor of the tournament?
I think that's fake.
That is fake.
Wow.
There you go. Point for Trevor. All right, Chris, you got to keep up with a Hall of Famer here. Let's try real or fake, Chris. Wix Furniture. Real or fake sponsor, Chris?
I'm going to say real.
It was. The Wix San Diego
Open. Well done, Chris.
Open. Very good. All right, 1-1. Round number two. All right, Trevor. Let's try Kyocera. Real or fake, Trevor?
That's real.
Oh, I got him. Yeah.
Oh,
LPGA
got
tournament. That was the LPGA so tournament in town. All right, Chris, dang, you got a chance to take the lead. Buick, Chris, real or fake sponsor?
Oh, it has to be real.
Oh, yeah, Buick Invitational, absolutely. Yeah. All right, Chris has got a lead over a Hall of Famer, 2-1, round three. Round three, Trevor. Let's try Shearson Lehman Brothers, Trevor, real or fake?
I got fake.
Oh, Shearson Lehman Brothers,
no!
Andy Williams Open. Come on, that's real.
Come on, Huffy.
Come on.
Chris, round three for you. Let's go with Isuzu, Chris, real or fake?
Fake.
No, that was real. It was the Isuzu San Diego Open. All right, 2-1. We go to round number four. Trevor, you're not out of this.
I'm not out.
Round four. How about Merrill Lynch, Trevor? Real or fake?
I love Merrill Lynch. I'm going real.
No, fake.
Oh, Trevor.
Chris, round four for you. You're beating the Hall of Famer. Real or fake,
no,
Chris? Convair, real or fake?
I want to say fake. I don't know.
No, that was real. Way back in the day, Convair San Diego Open. All right, round five, Trevor.
Okay.
Got to get one right here. Let's try Callaway, real or fake, Trevor?
I got fake.
Fake. It was never the Callaway there. You see their trucks out there, but they've never sponsored the tournament. All right, Chris, last round for you. General Dynamics, Chris, real or fake, Torrey Pines sponsor?
I want to say real.
It's fake, and we end up with a 2-2 tie. Trevor, amazing. You know, tie goes to the listeners. So, Chris, you win. Trevor, you don't
congratulations,
lose.
Congratulations, Chris.
We appreciate both of you playing today our game of Real or Fake.
That was Real or Fake with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Not bad, Trevor. Well, not great.
Not great.
You're not a Hall of Famer on Real or Fake. I'm sorry, sir.
I got my work cut out for you. Next time.
Thanks for doing that.
Thanks, guys.
That was fun.
I don't know. Can we get a Hall of Famer to play for you every day, Woods?
Seriously, why not?
Adds a little pizzazz to the game.
You know, I'll give it up every day.
All right. That was a fun and fast first 2 hours of the show today. See if the second 2 hours can be just as good. It should be. We got our Mort Report with ESPN's Chris Mortensen on the way at 7:35 this morning as he gets ready, I'm sure, to be heading out to Miami for Super Bowl week, along with the rest of the ESPN crew that's going to be out there. He'll join us coming up at 7:35. And looking forward to having Matt Strom from the Padres revamped bullpen. Should be one of the strengths of the team this year. Matt Strom is scheduled to stop by there at the Peoria Sports Complex as we continue Fantasy Camp Broadcast Week. Paul and Woods out in Arizona. Ben Hammer, Brian on the controls back here in San Diego. We have half the show still to go. Having a lot of fun this morning, boys. We will be back coming up next. It is Ben and Woods right here on San Diego's number one sports station. Do not go anywhere. We are 97.3 The Fan. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.